Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We begin our hour with our weekly roundtable of Dakota political junkies looking at the state's top headlines in state politics. With us now, John Hunter is publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. Thanks.
And Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well.
Hi, Lori. Thanks. Hi, John.
Hey, Roger.
We're all together, and we're looking at next week, the start of a new legislative session in South Dakota. It seems that District 34 out west, we have a new representative there, as Governor Dugard named Mike Diedrich to the seat that was vacated after the death of Craig Teason. John, what do we know about Michael Diedrich and what he might bring to Pierre?
Well, he's a former legislator, so I mean he has experience in that field. He was actually served in the Senate two different times with a gap of a couple of years, but served in the state Senate from 87 to 91, and then again from 93 to 95. As you mentioned, he is with Regional Health, and he's a lobbyist for them. So he's I don't know him personally, but mm-hmm. I'm sure he's very familiar with health care issues of all sorts, which pop up in the legislation and so forth. So, but in general, I think an experienced legislator, Republican, and my guess is he'll hit the ground running.
Yeah. Roger Whittle, Michael Diedrich, and we also have Doug Barthel heading to Pierre from the east side of the state. And you know, what makes it, when the governor appoints someone to the legislature, what makes a good lawmaker in that sense, because you haven't been elected by your constituents yet?
Well, in this case, I think he chose wisely in that he picked somebody who has served two terms of the legislature. And it's just for this session. Craig Teason's term was going to be up after this year. And I have not heard if Michael Diedrich is interested in running again, so we'll have to wait on that. But, you know, you just wanted to pick somebody who is experienced, who there's not much time before the sessions, there's not much time. We don't want to put anyone in there who has a really steep learning curve and is not going to be effective in this session. So I think he made a wise choice.
And we're starting to see then, Roger and John, some folks announcing bids for House seats in 2018. Let's start, John Hunter, with Jeff Hayward and Democrats. Jeff Hayward eyeing the District 12 House seat. Democrats really hitting this notion of economic development pretty hard, it seems, this year.
It does. In fact, I would guess almost all candidates, both Republican and Democrats, are going to bring that up as a theme. They recognize that, at least in South Dakota state government's case, we rely on economic growth to increase state budgets for whatever purpose we need. And so the sales tax revenue is still the largest contributor to that, and economic growth helps contribute to that. So, yes, I would expect all candidates to talk about that. Democrats usually also kind of as the next topic after economic development usually bring up some sort of ethics or kind of IM22 sorts of things. So I think that's probably going to be a common theme among most Democratic candidates also.
Roger, what do you think? Economic development, transparency, government ethics, those are what we're looking at for 2018 as far as folks, you know, on the campaign trail.
I think so. Workforce development is just crucial in this state. The economy is getting geared up. More and more jobs, you have to have people to fill those jobs or they're going to go elsewhere. So it's very important for our legislator to do everything they can to get our workforce to where it needs to be.
And are there policy things, Roger? I mean, is that you know, something that's handled in peer in the first place?
Well, yeah. It's a good question. I want to say as long as the legislator doesn't mess anything up too bad, but that's not the case. No, there's plenty they can do. I mean, when the state came out with the scholarships last year that that Denny Sanford helped to finance, giving lots and lots of people opportunities to go to our technical institutes free of charge. Those kind of workforce development things are very effective, and I'm sure the legislature has other ideas on how to advance that.
Well, Laurie, it's a good question, too, on what can be done during a legislative session, because a lot of the work right. of recruiting, you know, is done by whether it's a governor's office of economic development or local offices. And you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of organizations, both inside of government and out, who are interested in this topic. So, you know, I think at least comes down to, as Roger is alluding to, too, it comes down to funding those programs. Make sure you have enough people in GOED or in, you know, helping with workforce development, helping finance tuition or whatever those things are. So I think most of that, I mean, legislators have to decide at least a little bit as to which of these programs would deliver the most bang for the buck and then help appropriate mm-hmm. money for them.
And John, let's talk a little bit about what you refer to as these IM22 type issues of ethics and transparency and things like that. Do you predict sort of a rehashing of some stuff we already know? Do you predict new revelations and new insight into, you know, government and peer?
The way I've been thinking about it, at least, and not necessarily verbalizing it, but that it would be a repeat at 50% of the volume.
Okay.
We would bring up these kind of same things again, but it wouldn't be as hot a topic as it was last session. But I think people will try to bring it up. I think, to a degree, some people believe that the two kind of notable problems, and I don't know if I'd call them scandals, but you know, with the Gear Up and the beef plant, the EB5 thing, I think is a lot of people think those are unresolved and should continue to be understood. Other people believe that they are old news and not worth revisiting again. So, you know, how that plays out, I think is going to be. Might be the fervor by which people believe one side or the other.
Well, Roger, you know what I'm going to ask you. What are you hearing, unresolved or old news?
Well, you know, it's a little both. I think the issues themselves are probably old news, but the system that enabled those scandals, whatever, to happen, I don't think have been completely fixed yet. And I think that's what people are going to be asking the legislature to look at.
Mm. Any other predictions for what's going to come up in this legislative session, as short as it is, with the State of the State next week, State of Judiciary, State of Tribes, all coming out happening next week? John Hunter, what are you looking forward to? What are you following closely this session?
Well, I think the governor's budget address in December is, to me, a bit indicative of the agenda that would come up. And that's going to be kind of flat with last year, in other words, not increasing, and so that kind of indicates small or no increases for state employees' salaries or aid to K-12 districts and so on. So I think, I think there will not be any kind of new tax proposal. We've had two of those during Governor Dugard's administration, one for the roads and one for teacher salaries, and I don't think you'll see that again. So it's really just going to be a matter of how are we going to arrange these chips so that you can fund all the things that you want to. There's also going to be, and this happens every year, and that is as the assumptions change for what revenue is going to be, or you know what it has been, trends, and so forth, and that always seems to change during the course of the session, which then changes the dialogue. If they discover things are growing more slowly than they forecast, then things get tightened down. If it's growing a little better, then it may be loosened a little bit.
Roger, your thoughts? What are you looking forward to paying close attention to as we kick off the next session?
Well, there's definitely going to be a lot of competition for any state dollars out there that people want. And if the lawmakers are serious about putting more money into workforce development, they're going to have to find some place to take those dollars away from. And that's it's always a difficult thing to do. So it's going to be interesting to see, where follow the money is, as they say. It'll be a good session in that regard to see where they're going to find the money for these things and who's going to come out winners and who's going to come out losers.
And Governor Dugard said on this show just a few weeks ago he was concerned about state employees not receiving increases, about state employee retention. So we talk workforce development, but we also talk workforce retention in some ways, right, John?
Right, and there are, the funny thing about that, at least it's a little bit of a delay because things that we're talking about in January then take place
right.
that after July and kind of July. Through the following July. So you're thinking kind of 6 to 18 months out. And in one sense, that makes for good planning that you kind of know where you stand on these things. But yes, I do believe there are issues with retention as well as recruiting. But I don't anticipate a big growth spurt in the number of employees that work for state government. So I don't think you would have a lot of new growth that goes with that. So I think it's more for existing employees.
I want to make sure we get to Attorney General Marty Jackley and his legislative wish list going in. Roger, give us an overview of what his wish list sort of says about who he is as Attorney General, because we're talking about meth and keeping that out of the state and some other things about human trafficking as well. Can you give us an overview?
Right. He put the meth problem as the number one law enforcement issue that his office will be working with the legislature on this year, and he's doing that by increasing penalties for the manufacture and distribution of methamphetamine within the state, especially distribution. He mentioned in his press conference that the laws that they passed recently have really cut down on the manufacturing of meth in the state by limiting the ingredients that meth makers have access to in South Dakota. So now it's all about the dealers, and by significantly increasing penalties on those, he's hoping that meth dealers will avoid the state. And would just be a ripple effect of all sorts of good things that would happen. He mentioned that so many of our state inmates are drug users, and that people in the state don't have access to meth, there will be fewer people being sent to prison as drug users, which would save the state a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He's also talked about data breaches. He wants to protect South Dakotans from things like the Equifax data breach. He's asking that companies notify the state within 45 days if a certain number of South Dakotans' personal information has been compromised. And then he also talked about human trafficking a lot and made some strides with, he says South Dakota has one of the best sex offender registries in the country, but there's still room to improve on that.
John Hunter, when we talk about increasing penalties and mandatory penalties for things like meth distribution, there's also a cost attached to that, attached to, the incarceration and trial of those people. How does that balance off with what Roger was just saying about keeping costs down? How does it all play together?
Well, that's a great question, Lori, and that is there are pendulum swings that go between kind of getting tough on crime and then easing back a little bit. And we've seen, from, I don't know the years exactly, but let's say 15 years ago when kind of one strike and you're out kind of prison sentences, and then the reform that occurred a few years ago where you say, look, nonviolent drug offenders, we should put them on intensive probation instead. So it does go back and forth, but I think what Attorney General Jackley is doing here is saying, look, the real penalties need to come with the manufacture and the distribution of this stuff. It shouldn't. He's not proposing increasing on users, but he thinks the users will be fewer of them. So, I don't know how many people would be affected, you know, how many people they charge with per year of manufacturing or distributing that. Probably distributing is more common. I think in a lot of cases, users also give them to their friends or whatever, so they would be considered that. So the manufacturing, and South Dakota was able to make some progress on that case a few years ago when it was being done in abandoned farmhouses and so forth, and they did some things, and it became more of an import where it was coming from other places, and right. I think they'd like to tamp that down as well. And Roger's right that there's lots of good things that can happen if it doesn't show up here in the first place. Whether these criminals are going to say, oh yeah, it was worth the risk to be a class whatever felony, and now it's going to be one class worse, so I won't do it. I don't know. Or is it to keep those people out another 5 years, which then helps repeat? I don't know how effective that is yet.
That's interesting. And Attorney General Jackley will be on the show, I think, next week. So we'll definitely kind of dig into that because I'm fascinated by that. Yeah, do criminals pay attention to that, or is it a theory of, you know, they're off the street for longer and you're breaking the cycle?
I'm going to make sure I listen that day.
Okay. nothing there about the opioid crisis. Or Roger, did you listen to the press conference? Were you able to?
I did. Yeah. He said that, yes, opioids are a problem, but it's really the meth that is the biggest problem, and it's where we should be focusing our energies right now.
And
to get back into how he's saying this won't, somebody asked at this press conference, isn't this going to increase workload on prosecutors? Isn't it going to increase our prison population? And he had some good numbers that, and it's not just people in prison for the crime of using meth. It's meth users who get arrested for, say, robbery when they are, you know, breaking into places to steal to try to get money to buy meth. Those kind of prisoners are going to go down, he hopes, as meth becomes less and less available. So he's actually thinking there might be a decrease in workloads for prosecutors and number of inmates, which is, I hope it's true.
Right, yeah. So let's talk a little bit then, because obviously there's a primary for, a race for governor, as Governor Dugard sort of closes out with his final time in Pierre, and people like Marty Jackley and Kristi Noem start, and Billy Sutton, who will be in Pierre this session as well, start vying for that, for those votes. So, John, start us out a little bit with what that looks like is people are still doing their current job and then campaigning for what they would like their next job to be.
Well, I think it blends together in such a way that, whether people who are running for a different office, as all three of those candidates that you mentioned are, and it has to do with their current agenda, I think that happens all the time. I mean, I think you can always look to a person in their current job to see a little bit about how they may do in the next job, even though they're different positions. And so I think Marty in particular is sticking with the kind of stuff that he believes in. It's interesting when he brings up human trafficking. That's been one of Representative Noem's kind of key issues as she addressed that in the U.S. House. And she has, on the other hand, started meeting with some law enforcement people and in different cities and talking about that. So they're kind of doing things that each other are both interested in, which kind of limits it. We haven't heard much about economic development or other topics out of either of those candidates. But as far as Senator Sutton, his is a little different agenda, again, being in the minority party. And what he's trying to accomplish during the legislative session. But I think observers and voters should look at exactly what people propose, because presumably they're things they believe in, and they're raised to the level of priority for everyone.
We will leave it there for now. In the interest of time, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader, thank you so much for being here today, John.
Thanks, Lori.
Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well. We appreciate it.
Thank you.